everybody. I'm Jason Soto.
I'm Rob Branch.
And we are the hosts of the podcast Cinegamer. It is a podcast that takes a look at board games that is based on movies, TV shows, books. What else is there, Rob? Pamphlets?
Pamphlets. We put the thin in games. I don't know.
Yeah. So come check us out over at rabbitholepodcast.com, or you can check us out on Anchor, Spotify, Google, Apple, anywhere you get podcasts from. Definitely check us out. And we are definitely, if you couldn't tell,
are we on Stitcher too? We're on Stitcher. Yeah, hey, how about that? We're on Stitcher also.
Yeah, so check us out in all those places. And we are definitely adult orientated. Don't let the board game thing fool you. So come check us out, rabbitholepodcast.com.
We're adults. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Top 5 A through Z, the season finale, the grand season finale of Top 5 A through Z. That is the season that has lasted about 2 years. I am Jason Soto. I am your temporary host for the evening. Our usual host, Bill Zaney, had a family emergency he had to take care of. And instead of just delaying the show another 2 weeks, we all just decided, let's just do it. Bill was like, okay with it. He's like, you guys just go ahead and record without me. So I got his list. So we'll go through his stuff as well. To introduce the other co-hosts here, we have Rob. Hello, Rob.
What's going on with Soto?
And we have Pete. What's up, Pete?
Hello, as I'm grubbing down in this episode, yeah.
So before we begin, I just want to mention that everything we do here at Rabbit Hole Podcast is sponsored by Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/rabbitholepod, you get to try it absolutely free for 30 days. You can download any audiobook, original show, or podcast that you want. And after 30 days, you just pay $14.99 a month, and you access thousands and thousands of audiobooks, shows, or podcasts. You can cancel anytime, and if you do, you get to keep anything you've downloaded. So it is literally risk-free. So there you go. audibletrial.com/rabbitholepod. Using that link helps us out, and you support the show. And another way you can help support the show is you can go to patreon.com/rabbitholepods. For as low as $3 a month, you get early access to episodes and all kinds of awesome, great, funny, educational, very useful bonus content.
Bonus.
There's a seminar on there by Rob on how to pick up women. You should go check that out.
So far, it's got one listener.
And that was Pete. Pete, how has that been going for you?
He says nothing. He just laughs.
That tells you everything you need to know right there. That tells you everything you need to know. Anyway, you can check out
student.
You can check out all that bonus content over at patreon.com/rabbitholepods. All right. Okay. So, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is the season finale of Top 5 A through Z. We are doing the letter Z today, and this is the final, I think I can confidently say, final movie list. I think we're done with movies after this. Next season, which is going to begin whenever, with Soto Jason, is going to be about TV shows. I don't know if you've ever publicly announced that or not, but here I am announcing it to the world.
Yeah,
we will be doing TV shows next season, whenever again that starts. So, but yeah, we need to. We got one more letter to do movies on, and I thought this was going to be a little hard. But then when I looked at the list of movies that begin with Z, I was like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought. Like, I don't know if you guys had the same thoughts or opinions or.
I thought there's going to be a lot. I think there's going to be a lot of overlap, you know, because there are not a lot of movies starting with the letter V.
Yeah.
Just like there were with X, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, Hollywood hasn't decided on titling more movies like that, you know?
Like Zorro, they need to slash it through, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's not a whole heck of a lot of movies. Well, I mean, there kind of is if you're like in India. No shade or nothing. I'm just saying when I was looking at that list, there's a lot of Indian movies on there. So
yeah.
I think an easy one, and you know, we'll get into this. Actually, I don't even decide who's. Yeah, I got a problem here because Rob never wants to go first.
I'll go first.
And then
I will go first. And I have no
and
quarrels.
Pete is currently eating right now.
And Pete is like chomping down.
So, you know what? Okay, Rob, if you're cool with it, we'll have you go first. So, what is your number five, my man?
My number five is a cute little animation starring Jennifer Goodwin, Jason Bateman, Idris Elba, J.K. Simmons, and Alan Tudyk. It's Zootopia.
Oh. I have never seen that.
Excuse me. Directed by Brian Howard, Byron Howard, Richard Moore, and Jared Bush. So basically what happens is Jennifer Goodwin plays the role. She plays a rabbit. I forgot the rabbit's name, but it's not really important, you know. And she becomes the first rabbit to ever join the police force. So there's a lot of the way I kind of see it, like there's a lot of discrimination against, you know, and it shows a lot of the discrimination against the rabbits. So it kind of makes you kind of think how society is treating people in with respects to other races, you know. Okay. But all the animals live in different biomes. They live, you know, in harmony together, you know. Carnivores don't actually eat, you know, animals anymore. And what happens is she meets a fox. The rabbit's name is Judy Hopps. And the fox's name is Nick Wilde, played by Jason Bateman. So they run into each other. She catches him in the scam. But then things start going astray, you know, like animals who were very docile started attacking other animals. And it turns out it was a conspiracy that was created to kind of segregate, you know, the carnivores with the vegetarians, you know. I forgot what year this was. I'm so sorry. I usually have that all down. Give me one second. 2016.
I was going to guess 2016.
Yeah, 2016. It budgeted was $150 million, and it grossed over $1 billion. So, I mean.
Wow.
It's you know, it's a cute family for, it's a cute family film. It's got a lot of funny jokes in there. It's got a lot of humor that's really kind of related to the animal. So, you know, if you watch it, I mean, everybody's probably seen it by now. It's 6 years old, you know. So
I haven't seen it. I said that.
Well, that's because you suck. I mean, you know. I'm sorry. Everybody that's important in the world.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That's So, yeah, my number five is Zootopia.
All right, Pete, have you seen Zootopia? Because I sure as fuck haven't. No. All right, there. Yeah. There's another person who hadn't seen it. Now what?
It's like a Fox and the Hare story, it sounds like.
It kind of is a Fox and the Hare, except for the Fox and the Hare work together.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, I don't know. You guys haven't seen it, so I don't want to give away the ending.
It says the end on it.
Exactly.
How dare you ruin that? All right. Well, Pete, what about you? What's your number five?
My number five, if you like Robert Englund and surprisingly like Jenna Jameson, somehow things work together in this combination. If you like zombies too, you get yourself Zombie Strippers.
I thought about putting that all on my list.
Yep, here we go.
It's one of those movies where you think about Zombie Strippers. Is this a porn? No, it's not a porn. It's actually a real horror film. But it's set where the military, the Marines, they make these zombie Marines, pretty much, and they end up getting loose. So they get this team of they call Team Z or something like that, if I remember right, of Marines to stop these military Marines, as I, you know, I mean, zombies, you know, I can't speak right now, sorry. That's what food would do to you as you're eating and talking on the podcast. But anyway, Robert Englund, he runs this strip club and stuff and everything. And Jonah Jameson, of course, and a bunch of others are, of course, working there. When these zombies, these Marine zombies, happen to attack their club. Very gory, very good with the gore. It's funny as hell at parts. It's actually a horror comedy. It's one of my favorite zombie movies. Not my all-time favorite, but one of my favorite zombie movies because of the humor in there. I highly recommend this if you like something different and are very adult, if you know what I'm saying. But anyway, but it's not a porn, though. Let me repeat that. But there's a lot of nudity in there, though. But go see this movie. It's actually very interesting, more interesting than what it sounds like. So that's my number five.
I'm fairly confident, and this is me without not looking it up because it'll take forever, that I covered this on my old podcast, The Letter of the Unwanted, like back in the day. Because everything you just said sounded very, very familiar. So I'm fairly confident I did cover this, but I need to go look that up.
It's a good movie. It's not what you think. And the fact that, you know, Robert Englund's in there, I wish they could have came up with a better title for the strip club, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only seen it just that one time, so I vaguely remember what you're talking about, but okay, I'll go and then I'll end number five on Bill's list. So my number five is a comedy from a pretty prolific writer director. He wrote he made his own little movie universe before movie universes were a thing. He's the original. He's the OG. Unconnected movies are actually in the same universe guy. But this movie is sort of sadly outside of that universe. And I am talking about Zach and Miri Make a Porno, written and directed by Kevin Smith. This was Kevin Smith's, like, you know, attempt to kind of like breach out of the whole Clerks, you know, universe that he, you know, set up. This is supposed to just be like a one-off comedy that he made. And I was very excited when this came out. I remember like hearing about it. It's Kevin Smith. It was a comedy. It's about making a porno. Yeah, I'm fucking in, man. I'm there. I was there the midnight showing, like that Thursday night it opened up. I was there for it. And then I was very disappointed to hear that, like, all these stupid, like, uptight mothers were like, oh, you can't have the word porno in a movie theater. So they, like, picketed the movie theaters until they just, you know, gave in and they just called the movie simply Zach and Miri. But I went into that movie theater and I said as loud as I could, two tickets for Zach and Miri, make a porno, please. And then it was a fun movie. It's not the best Kevin Smith movie out there by a mile, but it's not bad. It's a good goofy comedy with a little bit of heart, and actually, oddly, there's romance in it. So go figure. The only bummer is that Elizabeth Banks is in it, but she does not get naked, which is kind of a shame because of the title. Yeah. But yeah, it's a fun movie. It's about, really, it's a good how-to guide on how to make your own homemade porno. So if you ever want to get into that, here's the movie for you. So my number five is Zach and Miri makes a porno.
You want to know something really funny about that movie?
What?
So one of the actresses in the movie who plays who is, you know, she's a stripper and she's the actress in the movie, her name is Katie Morgan.
Yeah.
She's an actual porn star.
Yes. Yes, he can. And there's other porn stars too, I think, that's in there. Like in the background.
Tracy Lords.
They show up, yeah. To be authentic. Absolutely. Yes. I do like this movie. So, all right, Bill's number five. this is what I remember about it. It's called Ziggy's Gift. And you might be like, who the fuck is Ziggy? You may or may not remember, but there was a comic strip. I don't know if it's still running. Maybe Rob can, you know, correct me on this. Can look this up and see if it's up really quick, since he has a computer.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while either.
It was a comic strip that was like started in the 70s. It was pretty popular in the 80s and kind of 90s.
Going.
It's still going. It's a comic strip about this guy named Ziggy, and it was like a one panel strip of just him doing something. There'd be some kind of gag or a joke, or he's in a situation. Well, they made an animated movie back in the 80s. It was a Christmas movie on top of that. Now, I personally have not seen this, which is surprising. Which is, yeah, a little surprising since I'm friends with Bill. And this is, I know he's talked about this like nonstop, and he's going to listen back to this and be like, I never made him watch this. Or he's going to argue with me and say he did make me see this, but I'm going to say it right now. He did not make me see this. I have no idea what this is about outside of it's an animated Ziggy movie and it's a Christmas film. Those are the only two things that I know. Based on the one panel comic strip that was popular in the 70s and 80s and apparently still running today. Go figure. But anyway, yeah, that's Bill's number five is Ziggy's Gift.
So apparently, it was started by an American cartoonist named Tom Wilson back in 1971. He did it until 1987, and then looks like his son took over for him. Tom Wilson II, you know?
Yeah, Tom Wilson. That's right. I was trying to think what that guy's name was.
Apparently there are a lot of movies. There's a lot of short films.
Oh, okay. See, I had zero idea about that. I know he's very huge in like the Hallmark store.
He's got figures
and ornaments and stuff like that. Like anytime you go to the Hallmark store, you just see him there.
Basically, it's his everyday life and a series of misfortunate events that happens all the time.
Yeah,
you know? The weird thing is he's always positive about it. You know, it's like he could get speared, and he's like, "Oh well, I guess it's a holy day."
Stuff like that. Like all this terrible stuff happens to him, and then he just tries to find like the upside to everything.
So. Sounds
he's
a lot like
him. He's like an anti Mr. Magoo, you know?
Yeah. All right, Rob, we're up to your number four.
My number four. Okay, so my number four. I really had trouble putting this. Like, I wanted it on the list, but I didn't know like where to go with it. But whatever, you know. It's a 2011 movie by a guy named Frank. He directed it, Frank Carassi. No idea who he is, but it stars Kevin James, Rosario Dawson, Leslie Bibb, Ken Jeong, Donnie Wahlberg, and Joe Rogan. It's Zookeeper.
Joe Rogan's in that?
Joe Rogan, yeah. Joe Rogan plays the new love interest of Leslie Bibb's character, you know? So basically what it is a guy named Griffin Keys, who's played by Kevin Bacon.
Whoa.
Kevin James. he's like, you know, the model employee at this zoo. He's dating this really hot chick, Leslie Bibb's character. And, you know, he decides to propose to her and mid proposal. She's like, no, just no. And then breaks up with him like right on the spot, you know? And so he kind of spirals and goes out of it, you know, but he's got his job. And out of nowhere, the animals just like take pity on him, you know. It's like he's a good guy, you know. And so one day they decide, like after closing time, they decide like they tell him like we can talk and we're gonna help you become the alpha male, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it's just like a series of unfortunate slapstick humorous events, you know. He meets Rosario Dawson's character, And, you know, everybody's like, yeah, you know, she should go for her. She's, you know, down to earth, you know. And it's about friendships. It's about love. Well, really, the big thing I remember about it, and this is about a lot of Kevin James films, Kevin James, is that his movies always have this underdog character that he stars as, and then he makes the right decision, and everything starts going good for him. You know, that's kind of like his formula, because there's at one point, like, he makes a promise to the ape, and then he goes back on his promise, but then goes back on going back on the promise. And, you know, it had a lot of voices, like Sylvester Stallone in there, was Nicholas Nolte was in there, Cher was in there. So, it budgeted $80 million and made twice as much money as that, you know? So, I mean, it was probably one of Kevin James's most money-making films, you know? So, Zookeeper, 2011.
Okay. Yeah, this is one that I definitely have not seen. I probably never
will. I wouldn't be surprised, man.
It's up to you. It's cool.
Right now, as it stands, this is the kind of movie that, you know, you would watch on a rainy night with your significant other.
Yeah, okay.
If everything else was unavailable.
I'm just going to probably avoid it now just because of the Joe Rogan bit, but other than that.
Oh, it's actually kind of funny. Joe Rogan, like, you know, he plays a douchebag, you know? And in the end, kind of gets his just desserts. So it's like, you know, you kind of want to watch just to see how how much of a douchebag Joe Rogan is, okay. And how much of a douchebag.
All right. You might have won me over just from that. So
yay!
All right, I might just have to give that a go. Okay, cool. Pete, number four.
Alrighty, I'm gonna do this purposely with a huge reason. When I say this right now, I'm gonna talk as I'm doing it. I'll be right back. There's a reason. Hold on. Good reason.
Okay.
A good reason.
And no, I'm not running pee.
Oh, well, you know, run pee.
Oh, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. That's the whole reason. I told y'all I didn't run away. That was the whole purpose. We forgot to say something. One of our sponsors. If you got to go use the bathroom during a movie and you don't want to miss anything, you got to get this app. You know, it's called Run Pee.
Run
Pee. It'll tell you every little bit of what you missed and what time you need to go. If you need to go piss, sorry. Hey, it's the last episode. You got to say it pissed. It could be the other one too, but it'll help you out with your movie experience. And
Jason uses it all the time.
Yeah.
I do. I'm not going to. Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm a guy that pisses a lot. So, So I recommend
that's what our viewers needed to hear, yes. You know.
We had to say it one more time on here because next
run pee.
Yeah, so if you got to go run pee, you can put this on pause and go run pee. But I don't think they're going to say anything about what I'm doing next. So, but anyways, my number four is what we did already. That's the only reason why I did that run pee ad. Is because Zach and Murray make a porno. One of the things that we forgot, that was forgotten to be mentioned on there, was they were making a Star Wars parody.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And that was like one of the main things of that, was that all he wanted to do was make a Star Wars parody. I mean, porn. So it's very funny as hell once you see that. And that's
please
my
tell me
four.
You don't have a character like a. What do you got, Pete? What are you going to show us?
No, I don't have no character.
Oh, damn it.
No. I might, though. Hold on a sec. No.
All right. Yeah, no, I did forget to mention that. Yeah, they started making a Star Wars porn parody.
You know, if they had action figures, I would have bought them all.
No, I would have too, for sure.
Yeah, that would have been funny. Like,
yeah, for sure.
To see how they come out with, you know. Oh, they would have probably gotten sued their ass.
All right, my number four. It's a weird movie. It's really weird. It was made in the 70s, 1974 to be exact. And it stars Sean Connery. And if you ever said to yourself, you just wake up one day and you're just like, I want to see Sean Connery wear a diaper. I'm going to put on the movie Zardoz. And what the I'm going to see Sean Connery in a diaper. Oh, man, this movie is a trip. So it takes place, like, in the future. And the world is being run by a giant floating statue head that periodically spits out guns. And Sean Connery plays a guy named Zed, who's in a tribe of people that gets these guns. And then he gets kind of... He hides into the flying statue head thing to see what the hell's going on. You know, what the hell this thing is. And he gets taken to basically another world. And it's a very serene, peaceful world. Populated by people wearing white robes. And they're very peaceful.
I thought you were going to say white diapers.
And white diapers. They probably were actually... They probably were wearing diapers now that I think about it. Yeah.
The guy's a whole thing.
And okay. So then he meets a woman played by Charlotte Rampling, who was really friggin' hot in this movie. She gets topless in a scene. And then it's just him figuring out what the hell's going on. And we're all confused because it's just random shit just happening it's like a 2-hour movie. Like it's maybe a little bit over 2 hours. I'm going to go ahead and kind of spoil, cause I don't think anyone's going to actually want to sit through this thing. So they call their god Zardoz. That's the name of the giant floating statue thing that they came up with. And while he's rooting around, he's like, where did they come up with the name Zardoz? They found out that these people in the white robes, they have settled into a library, and they found a copy of the book Wizard of Oz, but it was torn in certain spots. So the Zard from Wizard and then the Oz was put together, and then they were like, that's our god, Zardoz. And then there's a weird scene where they're in a cave and they age, and you know what? Take a lot of drugs if you watch this movie. You'll be better for it.
I want to see this now.
Anyway, my number 4 is a fucking weird-ass movie. And, you know, when I look at the list of movies that begin with Z, I was very limited with what I've seen. And so this was on there, and it's like, you know what? I appreciate the weirdness. I watch weird movies all the time. I like them. So, yeah. Zardoz, number 4, Sean Connery in a diaper, holding a gun. If you Google Zardoz, Sean Connery, that's going to be the first thing you see.
Yes,
is Sean Connery in a diaper, and he's got I can't think of what that thing is called right now, like a bandolier with bullets, and then he's got a gun. And that's the image. Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
That sounds interesting, yeah. Actually. So, him wearing a diaper going around with a gun.
Yeah, yep.
Jesus Christ, man.
So good luck finding it. It's probably somewhere. I'm sure you can find it.
You can watch it on
it's probably Apple. Yeah, it's got to be somewhere. I'm sure like Amazon has it or whatever.
Yep.
But it's really long, or at least it feels long. I remember watching it this is a movie they play at B-Fest at like 3 a.m. because it's just a long movie and it could probably put you to sleep. So okay, Bill's number 4 is actually, I've seen this movie. I've only seen it once. And actually, I for sure 100% did cover this on my previous podcast, Laird and Wanted. It is called Zapped. It stars Scott Baio, Willie Ames. I couldn't remember what his last name was. Willie Ames. Basically, yeah, the two guys you know from Charles in Charge.
Oh, yeah.
This is a sex comedy of sorts. Where Scott Baio's character gets these weird, like, kind of, I don't say, like weird powers, and he just makes things happen. And if you look up the cover of the movie, the thing that one of the things he does is he lifts up women's skirts, which is a thing he does do in the movie. But it's just him with, you know, these kind of powers, and he just kind of goes around messing around. Willie Ames is his friend who's trying to, like, figure a lot of, like, you know, oh my God, this is an interesting power you have here, Charles. And yeah, it's the Charles in Charge prequel you didn't know you needed.
The cover is really creepy because the way they have it drawn, man, Scott Baio's face looks
Now there was a sequel that I've not seen. I think it was one of those like forced sequels that came out like years later. I don't even know if Scott Baio is in it. I don't remember. I've not seen it, but it's called Zapped 2, like T-O-O. No, yeah, I think Scott Baio's not in it. I think it's someone else getting zapped. So, anywho, that's all I remember about Zapped. I remember thinking it was okay. Bill liked it enough to put it on number 4 on his spot. But he also could have just been desperate for Z movies and was like, hey, I remember watching this one time. And, yeah, Scott Baio. And I know, you know, Bill loves sitcoms. And so this TV season of our show is going to be really interesting because I guarantee you 98% of his list is going to be sitcoms. Yeah. So he probably just put this on there for the Scott Baio Willie Ames connection, which is fine. It's his list. I'm not putting them down or nothing, but Zapped number 4 for Bill. So
Scott Baio was in a lot of TV shows.
Yeah, no, he was. And then he went crazy, but we'll not talk about that right now. Rob, number 3.
We're on number 3. Okay, so let's see. Let's see if we can do some trivia here.
Ooh.
What do the states of Ohio, Kansas, Florida, and Arkansas have in common?
They all voted for Trump in 2016.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Because I'm probably
which is
right.
Probably why they're all in the movie Zombieland. So it stars Jesse Eisenberg, who plays Columbus. I'm assuming Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Emma Stone, who plays Wichita, Kansas. Woody Harrelson, who plays Tallahassee, Florida. Abigail Breslin, who plays Little Rock, Arkansas. And I apologize for this. It also stars Amber Heard. Heard. Yeah. So
she was in the first one. Oh wow.
She was in the first one. Yeah. She was on 401.
Oh,
she was the hot, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
We all know about this, you know, the Zombieland and Zombieland 2. You know, it follows a zombie apocalypse, and it follows Columbus's character as he tries to get back home, and his rules, you know, pop up all over the place, which is probably the best part of the movie. Like, you know, look in the backseat, don't use public bathrooms, remember the double tap, and cardio, you know.
Yep.
It's all about trying to make sense of the shitstorm that the world is after a zombie apocalypse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It also, you know, has Bill Murray in it, you know. God bless Bill Murray. But yeah, it was directed by Ruben Fleischer. It budgeted at $23 million and they made like $102 million. So yeah, they made their money's worth.
It was a surprise hit. People didn't expect it to be as big as it was. Yeah. You know?
It was interesting. You know, it's the way the movie was, it was, you know, Columbus was this like nerdy character who, you know, couldn't get a date on a Saturday night. And all he wanted to do was find love. And eventually he found it and multiple times with this one chick who kept on screwing him over, you know?
Yep.
So just goes to show love is evil, you know, and causes zombie apocalypses.
Yep.
So yeah, my number 3 is 2009 Zombieland.
I saw this opening weekend as well.
This is one of the movies I actually did see on an opening weekend.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, it was good. It definitely is good. I didn't get around to seeing the sequel only because I heard it wasn't as great.
He is all right,
but I'll probably catch it at some point. I just wasn't in a hurry because one thing, it was one of those like sequels made like way late, and those never go good. Like those never
they waited way too long, you know.
and you know, if this would, if the sequel would have came out like within like 5 years, I probably would have been all over it. But the fact that it was like almost 10 years, if not exactly 10 years after, it kind of worried me a little. So I'm not in a hurry to watch the sequel, but I probably will at some point. So
that's fair.
So all right, cool. Pete, what's your number three?
Alrighty. We'll get back to the Zombieland stuff later too, but there's a reason.
Yeah, but, actually we are, but go ahead.
My number three is actually based off a true story. It's Zodiac. About the late 60s, early 70s, the Zodiac killer. It is probably one of the most famous stories of a killer that's never been found yet and never solved and all this other, Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. You had a bunch of people in this movie. It was very interesting on how they investigated all this stuff, and it just, that's my quick take on Zodiac.
Zodiac was interesting.
Biggest review I've ever given, but
Zodiac was a really interesting movie to me. It was somewhat fictional, but also somewhat, you know, based on real events, you know, because if I'm not mistaken, they still don't know who the Zodiac killer is, right? Or did they figure that out?
Well, see, I don't know. I remember not that long ago, like earlier this year, I think there was like this big news thing about, I think we figured out who the Zodiac killer is,
but there was never a confirmation.
Yeah,
like 100%.
And then,
you know,
it just kind of faded away
because nobody gave a shit.
Yeah. So
nobody gave
know.
A nobody gave an amber.
No. Nobody gave an amber. No.
But yeah, it's I don't know.
Didn't it start Jake Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal, Robert Downey Jr., yeah. Mark Ruffalo, Chloe Sevigny's in it. It may or may not show up on my list later. That's why I know all this stuff.
Oh, come on now.
But anyway. Okay. Are you done, Pete? I don't want to interrupt you. Okay. All right. My number three is actually Zombieland. I got nothing really to add. That Rob said it all. Actually, I 100% agree with everything he said there. It's a very good comedic take on the zombie genre. Pretty gory.
Yeah.
The Bill Murray cameo is probably like one of the best fucking cameos in a movie I've seen in a while. Like, that was brilliant. And yeah, it was a surprising hit. Like, I remember the trailer coming out and people just kind of was like, eh, that doesn't look that great. And you maybe saw it, and then it was like, holy shit, this is good.
Yeah. The humor was very, very kind of dry and dark.
Yeah, which is good for the cast you had. Because, I mean, you had Jesse Eisenberg, who's like the most deadpan person.
Yeah.
And then Woody Harrelson, who kind of can do like this, like, like straight
such
guy,
a range.
Like
such
just
a range.
Like straight guy humor, like, you know, he just like delivers lines but no goofiness to it. He's just this, yeah. And then Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin, yeah, just great. But yeah, I really do like this movie as well. So that's my number three.
I love the credits. I love. Well, I just, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No,
but
you're
I
fine,
love
you're
how
fine.
Like. You know, like every time he puts up a rule, you know, something happens.
Yeah, yeah, that was,
And like number one, cardio. And then you see the zombie attack the fat guy and he goes, poor fatty.
Yeah. No, yeah. And then all the characters' names are just the cities they're from. Or actually in someone's spot, I can't remember who, I think it was where they were going to.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was Columbus. Wichita or maybe Columbus. Yeah, it was Columbus because he started off in Texas.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go to Columbus to see his parents, but then he finds out his parents died. So then they were all like, okay, we're going to detour to L.A. because of the Twinkie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Twinkies.
Tallahassee was obsessed with Twinkies because, you know, they don't ever die or go
they
bad.
They have an expiration date.
Yeah, that whole Twinkie thing's not true, by the way, to everyone out there listening. So
they do expire. They do.
They do expire. They absolutely do. All right, Bill's number three. is gonna be a it's a movie that everyone's gonna be like, oh, Jason surely has seen this movie. I surely have not. And there's not a reason that I hadn't seen it. I just never got to it. And that's Zoolander. Now, I got nothing against it. Like, I like Ben Stiller. I like the whole thing. I just never got to it. I know it was based on, like, a weird little sketch that Ben Stiller did for some other show, maybe even his show.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, something. And it got turned into a movie. And Will Ferrell's in it, Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, and there's like a bunch of other people that I can't think of right now off the top of my head. And it's like a take on the fashion industry, but he's like an international spy or something. And he's really stupid. Like really, 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 really stupid. but yeah. Zoolander is Bill's number three, just there's no confusion. And yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know why Bill put this at three. I'm sure it's a good movie. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's funny. I just hadn't seen it. I don't know. You guys want to input in anything here for Zoolander or is it coming up? If it's coming up, then we can wait. But
I have a funny story with that real brief because my number two is actually my number two and my number one because I'm putting it as a tie. But I went to go see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and this does the Zoolander thing. And I went with my friend April, my female best friend, my goddaughter's mother, and her brother Jesse, and his one friend. I can't remember his name right now. So after the movie, Jesse and his friend went to go sneak into Zoolander at the theater. And they got kicked out and stuff, of course. And as me and April were walking, because they were going to stay to watch the movie, they come out, we got kicked out by the usher. We're like, you know, it was fun. It's one of those things you had to be there. You know, story, you know. And we're just like, oh, crap. Like, like I told you not to go in the movie, man. Like,
yeah. It was so easy to sneak into movies back in the day because, like, now we have assigned seating.
Yeah.
So, but, like, back then it was like you could, like, just – do it like, you know, in between or whatever, and then just try to get in without anyone seeing you. And then it was so much easier back then.
I will say this about Zoolander is that I lost so much respect for Billy Zane when I saw him in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, is he in it? I had no idea.
This movie has a lot of people.
I know there's a lot of like cameos and stars and stuff in it.
So many cameos. I mean, Tommy Hilfiger, Natalie Portman, Fabio, Lenny Kravitz, Gwen Stefani.
Oh wow.
Heidi Klum, Paris Hilton, it's just
that's a lot of random people. How much money
did they spend to get people to come in this movie, you know?
Ben Stiller knows a lot of people.
He does.
I mean, he's friends with Tom Cruise, so if you can be friends with Tom Cruise, you have a pretty big reach. So anyway, that's Bill's number three is Zoolander. So there you go. Rob, number two.
Excuse me, sorry, I got a little sleepy there. I was reading not really a nursery book last night. I was reading a very good story, you know, about a spaceman. It wasn't Buzz Lightyear. No, that's right. It was Zathura, a space adventure.
Ah.
Yeah, this is it's directed by Jon Favreau. And it's weird because it's in the same style as Jumanji, you know. Yep. I think it came right after Jumanji.
Yeah, the book was written by the same guy. It's based on a book.
So it's got Josh Hutcherson, Jonah Bobo, Dax Shepard, Tim Robbins, and Kristen Stewart, ironically, before she went nuts.
Okay.
So, you know, Josh and Jonah play these two brothers. Tim Robbins is the father, and then Kristen is, you know, the sister. And they find this board game, like, I think in the basement. And it turns out it's a space adventure board game. And what happens in the board game happens in real life, just like in Jumanji, you know. Then out of nowhere, you know, Dax Shepard's character shows up. Because he's the lost astronaut, you know, the earthling astronaut that gets lost, you know, and he's trying to make sure everybody stays safe, and Kristen Stewart falls in love with him. Ironically, it's Josh Hutcherson's character in the future, you know, So she had a crush on her brother, you know. To me, it was, I liked it just as I liked it more than I liked Jumanji, because the special effects were just amazing in the movie. The one scene where, you know, it's early in the movie where the brothers are, they just get on their front, they open their door to the front porch and they see a black hole right in front of them, and they're,
yeah,
their house is their spaceship, and it's just like floating, and they're like, I'm not telling Dad about this, man. No. You know, but it's a good movie, because as Jumanji, it's all about those movies where it's like you wish for something and then you realize your wish is not, you know, it was just an impulse wish, you know. There's a lot of family in this movie. I can't say more than it's 17 years old and it still looks good, you know. I mean, you can tell, obviously, you know, the kids, you know, everybody's aged in real life, but the special effects are good for the time. It's one of those movies. I love it. And ironically, you know, its budget was $65 million, and that's how much it made. So, I mean, you know, John broke even on this one.
Yeah. And this was one of his, like, earlier directorial films, like, 'cause he didn't really direct a lot in the early days. Now he directs a bunch of stuff, but yeah, he was mainly known as an actor right around this time, so it was really surprising.
But it shows that individuals can be just as versatile and talented as, you know, other people. And he knew the acting, and he obviously picked up something while he was acting in movies and TV shows. And he's like, yeah, I could give this a shot. And he chose something that was really, you know, kind of simple, but very fun to play with. And, you know, broke even, which, you know, for an early film to break even, I mean, dude, you know, you did something right.
Exactly. All right. I had not seen it, but I remember hearing
about
it.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I read the book, though, so I could be a hipster about that, and I read the book. I read Jumanji and Zathura, so I read both those books when I was younger. So, Pete, number two.
My number two is number two and number one because I'm doing both. My number one's first, actually, and number two is number two. We covered this movie, and we're just talking about the sequel for it too, and Zombieland and Zombieland Double Tap.
Nah,
I'm just gonna run through a little basics because we already talked about Zombieland. You guys said, Bill Murray's part in Zombieland was probably one of the best damn parts in there.
Yeah.
They had a lot of cool rules stuff too in the movies and stuff, and talking about Bill Murray in the second, he also steals the show in the second. In the credits, they have a whole little thing of its own with Bill Murray. And it's just priceless. If you watch the second, there's like a whole bunch of stuff with that. And the second is basically them going from the White House to Graceland. And things happen where people split up for a bit, whatever. They come back with new people and stuff. Rosario Dawson's added to it. A few others are added. But it's very interesting. They are going after this character called the Beast in that one. The first Zombieland still is priceless. It's one of my favorite zombie movies. Not the all-time favorite one, but one of my favorites. It's goofy as hell. We're talking about earlier about Woody Harrelson's character. He always has these little quips about stuff, and that's what makes that. And he's like that type of character that, I could do everything, nothing's going to hurt me, or whatever like this. And you guys know that from watching the first one. And but he breaks down a little bit in this, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But, you know, he's like you said, he's going after Twinkies a lot. But like I said, it's very gory at parts, which is great. I love the way they did the zombies. Like, it's different types of zombies. It's just like if you ever played a Dead Rising.
Yep.
And that the zombies remind you of something like that. Like, they're all unique in their own little way. But yeah, that is my number one and number two, Zombieland and Zombieland Double Tap. Let me say something real quick. This is the only reason why I'm the Deadbolt 2. It's been a privilege with you guys. I'm looking forward to the TV show ones. And yeah, it's been a wild trip. We start off with just me, Jason. Well, first it was me, Bill, and our old co-host. I'm not going to say name, but I'll call him Wild One, if you know what I'm talking about there. But a very unexpected guy. cool dude, but very expected guy, stuff. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's going to be very cool trying to figure out now TV shows.
That's going to be an interesting trip, yeah.
Yep, for sure. So
we've had a lot of great hosts, too, on here. I mean, guests during the time. But yeah.
Did we just jump to the ending? I'm confused what's happening.
No, I just wanted to say all that now before.
Did I have a stroke?
Yeah, did I fall asleep? Maybe I fell asleep. So. All right, well, thank you, Pete. Thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to the TV show season as well. My number two, I got to tell a very quick story.
Too late.
Not a lot of people may know the history about this. So in 1978, George Romero made a movie called Dawn of the Dead. It was a sequel to his first film, Night of the Living Dead. Came out in 1978. It took place in a mall. It was basically the same, just zombies just attacking a mall, people hiding out, you know, and trying to survive. That's basically what Dawn of the Dead is about. Well, it was a very popular movie that it was sent to other countries to be screened and shown or whatever. And for whatever reason, whenever movies go to different countries, they retitle them. And this was no exception. So when this was released in Italy, Dawn of the Dead was titled just Zombie. Mm. So when you go look up the movie Zombie in Italy, it comes up as Dawn of the Dead. Now, a director, a very prolific, famous director named Lucio Fulci, wanted to make a sequel, an Italian sequel to Dawn of the Dead. So he and screenwriter Dardano Sacchetti, hope I'm saying that right. I wish Bill was here so we can do the Italian pronunciations. Sacchetti. And so they made Zombie 2. Now, what's funny is Zombie 2 found its way to America. And the American distributor was like, well, why is this called Zombie 2? We don't got a movie called Zombie. So they had to take off the 2. And so here in America, it's just called Zombie. Wow. And I know that is very confusing, but which is even more confusing because there did end up being a Zombie 2, which was a direct sequel to this one. So it's a very weird, muddled timeline with these films. So I'm talking about Lucio Fulci's Zombie/Zombie 2. Yeah, there you go. So that's my number. That's my number two. It's kind of a prequel. He sort of made it as like, okay, what caused the zombie outbreak? So this is like the story of like how it happened. And it's kind of a convoluted story. This movie is pretty famous for having a scene where, a zombie grabs a woman by her head and starts like slowly like pushing her head towards like a piece of wood that's splintered, and it's like going towards her eye. And this scene takes, I mean, like literally like 5 minutes. Like this, just this very slow shot of the zombie pushing this woman's head towards her eye. And it's one of the most like anticipating, like, oh my God, will you just get it over with already, like parts. And, yeah, it's a very interesting take on it. It's they introduced some stuff. It's not like the greatest movie by any means. The acting's hit or miss. But it's a good movie. It's a good zombie movie. It's an interesting, you know, hey, let's explain why the zombies in George Romero's movies are zombies kind of thing. And here, like, the zombies, like, don't play by the rules. Like, these zombies can swim. They can walk really fast. They can think for themselves. And like I said, one of them even grabs the girl's head and starts, you know, instead of just flat out like eating her, like, so they kind of have like smarts or whatever. So
you see three of them, you know, drinking wine, looking at an American thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, so my number two is Lucio Fulci's Zombie, also known as Zombie 2. And if you start reading up on the series, you're just going to have a headache. So I'll just don't bother. So Bill's number two, this will be quick, was Zombieland.
So yeah, that's pretty damn quick.
So that's the, there you go. So with that said, we're at our number ones. So Rob,
number ones, you know, we've had some good times here, people, haven't we? Yeah, I think we have. Yeah.
We learned a lot. We grew together.
We became superheroes and fought, you know, evil villains. We had an orgy with zombies.
Yeah,
those good times. No, joking. Okay, so my movie, my number one, I wanted to put it as number two, but I love it so much because of the cast. It's got Tim Allen, Courtney Cox, Chevy Chase, Spencer Breslin, Michael Cassidy, and I wish she was my wife, Kate Mara. It's 2006. It was directed by a guy named Peter Hewitt. He really didn't do anything. You can tell how bad, like, he, I don't want to say he's a bad director, but he also directed Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Yeah, so my number one is Zoom. So this was kind of a Disney flick. The way this works is, Tim Allen is a retired superhero.
I remember this now.
Yeah.
Okay.
He kind of like lost his powers because he got old. So in the previous, you know, when he was a superhero, him and his brother, Boomerang or something like that. I can't remember what his brother's superhero name was. Like they went up against somebody and created a paradox, and his brother got sucked in and he kind of gave up on it. And so turns out his brother's coming back from the other dimension and he's pissed and he's going to destroy the world. So, you know, the military's like, Zoom, we need you to go stop your brother and train a new generation of superheroes. And he just laughs in the general's face, you know, he's like, ha ha ha. Yeah, right. And then he gets, you know, he is in charge. He goes through the candidate promises and finds four people. A 17-year-old Dylan, the kid named Dylan, who is played by Michael Cassidy. He can turn invisible. Summer, who is played by Kate Mara, she has telekinetic powers. Tucker, who's played by Spencer, can, you know, basically enlarge any part of his body, keep your minds clean, people. And Cindy, who at the time she was 6 years old, she's grown up now. Dear God, she's gorgeous. I don't even want to say what her name is. It's just, you know, she's amazing. They all fight, you know, Zoom's brother, and in the end turn him good, which was probably the shitty part of the movie. But it was a kid's film. It was budgeted for $35 million, and it did so bad that it only made a third of its money back.
Wow.
Which, you know, with Tim Allen movies, it's hit and miss. He does a lot of family movies, and they thought because this was kind of like a family superhero movie, and Courtney Cox actually has superpowers also, you know, like she can whistle, and when she blows like stardust and like rainbow powers, and you know, like has a super blow power. God, this is sounding so bad. The more I talk about it.
You're not really selling it, Rob.
Well, the thing was, like, in the movie, she was one of Zoom's like number one fans. Like, she even had all the comic books in mint condition, you know. And she plays a scientist who's got like OCD, you know. So it's really funny to watch her play this character opposite of Tim Allen, who's basically just, you know, carefree. That's how he is in a lot of his movies. So yeah, my number one was Zoom back in 2006. It's a good family movie. I think everybody can enjoy it, you know, if you can get past like the the corny dad humor, you know.
It might do if it was released now. It probably been doing better than what it did then.
Yeah, it probably would have done. Jason, you just showed back up with a back scratcher. That's weird.
I've always had this. So you were not back paying scratcher. Attention.
Back scratcher. Back scratcher.
Ha. Yeah, I've not seen this. I remember. I do. It took me. Wow. It took you like halfway explaining it for me to even remember.
Wow.
This yeah. movie existed. I completely forgot about this. But yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not seeing it. Probably won't. But that's cool, man.
It's worth. You know, it's a good movie. That's worth. You know, if it's like a like I said, you know, it's a rainy day film. You know, it's.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's got like, you know, Spencer, he's done a lot of stuff, you know, Cat in the Hat, Santa Claus movies, gosh, what else? A lot of apparently he was in the Shaggy Dog also, which is weird. He does a lot of kids movies and Disney flicks, so you know, but I think he's a great actor, you know. And then obviously, like I said, there's Kate Mara.
Yep.
Kate, if you're listening to this, I love you. I know you're married, but I can't give you what your husband gives you. So, you know, just stay with it. Just leave it at that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Pete already did his number one. So we'll go to mine. And it was said already. I think Pete might have said it. It was Zodiac. Yeah, I love this movie. It's a fantastic movie. So it's Pete, when you were discussing it, you or was it Rob? Which one of you had this? I can't remember.
I did.
So when you were discussing it, you said it was like a mixture of both like real life and kind of fictionalized version. What's probably interesting about it is it's based on a book that was written by Robert Graystroke, who was Jake Gyllenhaal's character in the movie. Yeah. So the whole movie's really from like his point of view.
Yeah.
They're investigating this the series of murders because he works at the San Francisco Chronicle, which is where the Zodiac wrote all of his letters to, and he was a cartoonist for the for that paper. And he got drawn into this mystery of, you know, who the hell is the Zodiac killer? Why is he sending us letters? And how come he's never been caught? And, you know, what's going on? And so he decides to, on his own time, like, this isn't even part of his job. He's just doing this as, like, a hobby to try to figure out who the Zodiac killer is. And the movie really wants you to think it's this one guy. Because this was Robert Graystroke's theory was it was this one guy named Arthur Lee Allen, who that guy in the movie, fucking shit, he was creepy as fuck. Like, that was just great casting right there. That guy that played damn the good suspect. Yeah, he was wonderful. Actually, the whole cast does a wonderful bang up job on this film. I love this movie. It's a David Fincher movie, and it really shows because David Fincher movies have like a feel to them. Like he did like Fight Club and whatnot, and they got like a feel to them. And this one has a good feel to it. The only one downside I say, and this is just it's too long, and I only say this because I want to watch this like all the time. Yeah. It's such a great movie, but it's like almost 3 hours long. Like, it's not quite 3 hours, like 2.5 maybe, but it's really fucking long, but it is great. It is good. And it details the whole series, like the whole murders. Like, we see the first kill, you know, on the 4th of July, like 1968 or 9 or something, up to like the ones throughout the 70s. And then even leading up into the 80s a little bit. And the fact that he, you know, has the making of that movie, he was never caught and nobody ever really knew who he was. And there's all the speculation on, you know, who it possibly could have been. And he left these weird clues behind. It's just a very interesting case and a very great movie. So yeah, my number one had to be Zodiac. I love this movie. It is wonderful. So, Bill, It's number one is not Zodiac. It is Zorro the Gay Blade.
Da, 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 da.
And
Okay.
I don't know how many Zorro movies Bill has seen. I know he's seen The Legend of Zorro because we saw that together in the theater, but it doesn't begin with a Z, so I can see him not picking that. And I don't know if he's seen the old Zorro movies. I'm guessing this is the only other one he might have seen. I don't know. But this is like a comedic take on it because it stars George Hamilton, has Zorro, and it's called The Gay Blade. That's probably all I know about it. Oh, and I said this off air, but I guess I'll say it on air. In the Batman lore, when Bruce Wayne's parents get killed, the night they get killed, they're leaving a showing of a Zorro movie. So anytime there's been an adaptation of Batman, it's been they leave a Zorro movie. And so in the movie Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, since that takes place in the 80s, they're leaving Zorro the Gay Blade. Which I remember when I caught that in the theater watching Joker, I was the only one laughing because it's a very tense scene, right? Because you're seeing Thomas and Martha Wayne getting murdered, but you see them walking out of Zorro the Gay Blade. I'm the only one in the fucking theater laughing. And I'm sure everyone thought I was a fucking lunatic.
Even thought of that.
I'm sure they thought I was a fucking lunatic, but I was like, oh, that's so funny because it had to be Zorro the Gay Blade. It takes place in the 80s. So that makes sense. But yeah, so that's Bill's number one was Zorro the Gay Blade. So there you go. Those are our lists of top five movies that begin with Z. Like Pete said, this is the season finale of season one, the longest season of probably any show ever. It took about almost 2 years to complete. And I know it's weird because we took a very long hiatus in 2022. And then we came back, and then we took like a month off after that just for us to do a season finale. I know it's weird. And we apologize. We apologize. It's just behind the scenes shenanigans. We're not perfect. Shit happens. Yeah. We have four people on the show. Not all the schedules are going to line up perfectly. So, you know, our apologies. But next season... which we're not sure when that's going to happen yet. We're going to kind of discuss that, but it'll be relatively soon. Not too soon, but pretty soon. We'll maybe it's the start of the next year, maybe. But we'll figure it out. Anyway, we hope you stick around and join us for season two as we cover TV shows.
If you don't, I'll kick you in the nuts.
And Rob will kick you in the nuts.
I wanted to mention something that Jason mentioned to us on the side off the air. This is going to be where it's not really a top, in order with the A to Z, because you were saying that before, right?
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, it was this whole thing, because it was like, you know, how many, can we all really think of different shows that begin with A? So, yeah, we were going to kind of discuss the format a little bit later, just to kind of get it whittled down, because right now it's kind of up in the air, but we'll get it all sorted out. And we'll come back and we will do TV shows. So, all right. Well, that's it. Hey, just a quick reminder. Go to audibletrial.com/rabbitholepod. Get a absolutely free trial of Audible for 30 days. After 30 days, you just pay $14.99 a month. You get to access thousands and thousands of audiobooks, original shows, original podcasts. You can cancel anytime, and if you do cancel, anything that you've downloaded, you get to keep, so you don't lose it. So if you're in the middle of, I don't know, Zorro, there's probably a Zorro book out there, and you decide to end the trial or whatever, you still get to keep Zorro, and you get to listen to it. You can take your time listening to this stuff. And also, I want to mention the Patreon, patreon.com/rabbitholepods. I know that's confusing, because the Audible is singular, and the Patreon is plural. I don't know why I did that. That's my fault. But anyway, patreon.com/rabbitholepods. For $3, you get access to episodes really early. Right now, if you're a Patreon member, you get to hear this episode early.
early.
This is going to go up probably tomorrow, if not tonight, and as we're recording this. And if you become a Patreon member, you get to hear this a good 6 days in advance. And that goes for any other rabbit hole podcast show. So if you want to listen to whatever with Jason Soto early, Lyrical Innuendo early, With Strange Eons, whatever show we have over at Rabbit Hole Podcast, you can go check that out. And actually, if you want to listen to any of those shows, you can also go to rabbitholepodcast.com. That's probably your best place. So, all right, Pete, Rob, thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome.
You're awesome.
I want to say one thing real quick. Jason has another brilliant podcast out. Where it's Anything Goes type one. I forgot the name. He can tell you the name right now. I will be on that several times. We talked about it, me and Jason. So I'll be on that podcast. If you see me also, I'll be probably on whatever a few times in between. Yes. And if Bill returns his show, maybe on there, because I'm co-host on that one too. So,
indeed. And that is Sporadic Cast. Yes, we are working on getting that up for the people. So, all right, we're going to get going. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
And see you next season, everybody. Yeah!
Remember, my foot's ready.
Nobody ever wants this show to end, I swear. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Copyright 2022 Rabbit Hole Podcasts, rabbitholepodcasts.com.